Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Well, happy Father's Day! Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. May all the fathers in the house and who listen online be blessed. Today, the Spirit is calling us to see ourselves in the grand cosmic drama of redemption. This is not just a story from long ago or a theological concept for the scholars. It is your story and it is mine. It's about who we are, where we came from, and what authority we walk in right now because of Yeshua the Messiah. Whether you've studied scripture for years or this is all new to you, this message is for you. God's heart isn't just for Israel, but for the whole world. Every nation, every family, every one of us. Let's open in prayer. Abba, open our eyes. Let us see ourselves in your story. Let us see our true identity in Messiah and the authority you have given us as your restored family. Holy Spirit, guide my words and let me convey the Father's heart with clarity. In Yeshua's name, may your kingdom truly come here today. Amen. Let's begin in Genesis 11. The world is young. Humanity, descended from Noah, is growing and spreading. But instead of filling the earth, as Adonai commanded, they gather on the plain of Shinar. Listen to the TLV. Then they said, "Come, let's build ourselves a city with a tower whose top reaches into heaven. Let's make a name for ourselves, or else we will be scattered over the face of the whole land." It's in Genesis 11:4. Well, why are they crying about being scattered over the face of the land? Isn't that what God told them to do? Oh, well, let's continue. Pause and feel the pride here. The people want to make a name for themselves, to build a monument to their own power and unity. They defy God's call to spread out and fill the earth. Mm-mm-mm. They want security, control, and a reputation apart from God. But God comes down. The Hebrew is playful. It's almost ironic. Humanity tries to reach the heavens, but Adonai must descend just to see what they're building. Adonai said, "Look, the people are one, and all of them have the same language. So this is what they have begun to do. Now nothing they plan to do will be impossible. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other's language." That is in Genesis 11 and also 6-7. So God scatters them. The city was called Babel, meaning confusion. They definitely were a little confused, weren't they? When that got scared of the language, they became even more confused. The unity built on rebellion is shattered. People are spread to the ends of the earth. They wanted unity apart from God, to climb to the heavens by their own strength. And so God confuses their language and scatters them. But the Torah, the prophets, and the apostles reveal the spiritual dimension behind this scattering. Let's look at Deuteronomy 32:8-9. Once again, this is the Tree of Life version. When Elion gave nations their heritage, when he separated the sons of man, he set boundaries for the people by the number of Bnei Israel. Adonai's portion is his people. Jacob is his share of his inheritance. That's interesting. What does this mean? Deuteronomy 32 isn't just talking about geography. It's telling us that when the nations were scattered, they were placed under the authority of spiritual beings, sometimes called the sons of God. This is why so many cultures through history have worshiped false gods and been trapped in darkness. But God kept Israel for himself, not to exclude the others, but to begin his rescue plan. This ancient understanding was confirmed by Paul in the New Covenant, as Paul writes in Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the worldly forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." At Babel, humanity is scattered and placed under the authority of these lesser spiritual beings. The world becomes a battleground, a kingdom of darkness ruled by rebellious powers. But God did not abandon the world to darkness. Out of the scattered nations, God calls one man, Abraham, and makes him the seed of a new nation. You can read about that in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. "Now Adonai said to Abram, get going out from your land and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. My heart's desire is to make you into a great nation, to bless you, to make your name great, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Israel was set apart, not because God loved the other nations less, but because he loved them so much, he had to start somewhere. Israel is his portion, his priestly people, according to Exodus 19:6, chosen to be a light to the nations and the door through which redemption would come. From the moment of the fall, Yahweh announced his plan to crush the serpent and restore his family. You can read about it in Genesis 3:15. This was not a reaction, but a promise. "I will put animosity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He will crush your head, and you will crush his heel." This is the first direct prophecy of the coming Messiah, Yeshua, who would ultimately defeat the serpent, who is Satan, though at great personal cost. From the very beginning, Yahweh's heart was to redeem and restore his family through the seed of the woman. And all through Scripture, prophets declare that God's plan is for every tribe and nation. Isaiah 49:6 tells us, "Is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the preserved ones of Israel? So I will give you as a light for the nations, that you shall be my salvation to the end of the earth." And Psalm 67, 2-3 tells us, "May God be gracious to us and bless us. May he cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, so that your way may be known on the earth and your salvation among all nations." Daniel 7:14 says, "And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him." And Revelation 5:9, "You were slain, and by your blood you redeemed for God those from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." And we are to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, as instructed to do in Matthew 28:19. And this verse beautifully reinforces that the Father's plan is to redeem people from every nation, tribe, people, and language, restoring the family he has always longed for. Listen to this in Revelation 7:9 through 10. "After these things I looked, and behold, a vast multitude that no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, was standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes, palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.'" Hallelujah. God's plan is not just to save Israel, but through Israel's Messiah to reclaim every tribe, tongue, and nation lost at Babel. Fast forward to Yeshua the Messiah. He comes as the Son of God, the Redeemer, the one true King. His ministry is marked by direct confrontation with demonic powers, sickness, and the kingdom of darkness. At the cross, a cosmic shift takes place. Paul writes in Colossians 1:13, "He rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son, whom he loves." And in Colossians 2:15, "After disarming the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross." Hallelujah. Yeshua breaks the authority of those dark spiritual rulers over the nations. The dividing wall is torn down. In him, Jew and Gentile are brought near and made one new humanity. This is instructed to us in Ephesians 2:14-16. And Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I have given you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." I think we need to grab hold of that promise right there in Luke 10:19, don't you? Yeah. We have all power over the enemy. So many people talking about how the enemy is getting to them. The devil's doing all this stuff to them. Hello, people. We have authority over the devil. Take authority over him. He's under your feet. There's that song we used to sing. "The devil is under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet." Yeah, he's under your feet. Take authority over him. This is not just a metaphor. Before Messiah, the nations were under the authority of rebellious spiritual rulers. Now, in Messiah, we are transferred out of that kingdom of darkness and made citizens of the kingdom of light. The devil and his kingdom no longer have authority over you unless you give it back to them. Think about it as this: if you immigrate from your country to a new country and you become a citizen of the new country, now the rules of the new and laws of the new country rule over you. You have to obey those rules. And the rulers of the old country can't come and try to enforce that your home country's rules on you any longer. You're operating under a new system. So it's the same way here. We were once in the kingdom of darkness, but now we are in the kingdom of light. The devil has no authority over us. So we operate under God's authority. His rules operate over us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome to know that the devil can't tell you what to do anymore? God can tell you what to do. Listen to him. Hallelujah. 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 Say it with me. I am no longer under the dominion of darkness. I am a child of the King. I am seated with Messiah in heavenly places. Wow. Hallelujah. So, who are you? Your true identity is in Messiah. And what does this mean for your daily life? You are not just forgiven. You are transferred. You've changed spiritual addresses. The old rulers have no claim on you. You are not under the dominion of darkness. You are a son or daughter of the Father, a co-heir with Messiah, a member of the restored family. And you have authority. Just as Messiah gave his disciples authority over evil, you walk in that same victory. You are called to trample on snakes and scorpions, not in your own strength, but as one who is seated with him in heavenly places. And this is told to us in Ephesians 2:6. This is Bible. This is not pride. This is faith in the finished work of Yeshua and the heart of the Father who always wanted you in his family. So what does this look like? You reject every lie from the old kingdom If the enemy tries to tell you you're still a slave, remind him you're a child of the King. We sang about it in worship this morning. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. Amen. You are not under the devil's authority anymore. Walk in authority, not arrogance, but confidence. Pray for the sick. Speak with boldness. Stand against darkness in your home, in your family, in your city. See the nations as your destiny. The Father's heart is for every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Every boundary broken at Babel is being restored in Messiah. Pray for the nations. Welcome the stranger. Love those who are not like you. Hello. Not everybody is going to be exactly like you. Unity does not mean the same in every respect. We have different skin colors, different genders. We have from different backgrounds. We have different pieces of the puzzle. But we're to love all, because all are made in the image of God. Amen. Live as a sign of the coming kingdom. When we love across barriers, when we forgive, when we walk in supernatural peace and joy, we are evidence that the powers have been disarmed and the Father is gathering his family. But let me add a word of caution here, because kingdom love is not the same as worldly tolerance. Just because we love everyone, even our enemies, does not mean we tolerate, condone, or excuse sin. As citizens of the kingdom of God, as those who walk in the light according to the Spirit, we're called to show Yahweh's love in a way that leads people into truth and freedom, not deeper into bondage. We have a responsibility to help those in sin see the damage it causes and to call them back to God's ways. Sometimes this looks like tough love, a willingness to speak hard truths, even when it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it means speaking gently, encouraging a sinner to repent, to turn around and walk the path the Lord has called them to walk. Think of it this way. If you were hiking in the woods and saw someone heading toward a cliff, would you stand by in silence? Would you say, "I love you, and you have every right to walk off that cliff if you choose"? Or would you warn them? Would you even run and do everything in your power to stop them from falling? Be honest. What would you do? Now, I'm sure there's some people who say, "I don't want to get involved." And they would just keep on walking on down the path and not even take a second thought about it. I hope that's not you. If someone is about ready to walk off a cliff and destroy themselves, at least make an effort. Say, "Look, I love you too much to not warn you. The path you are on is leading to your destruction. Please turn around. Walk towards safety." Amen. So let's love boldly and let's love truthfully. Let's be a people who welcome everyone, but who also call everyone to repentance and a new life in Messiah. That is the heart of the Father. Grace, mercy, truth, and transformation. That's what he showed the woman who was caught in adultery. He didn't condone her sin. He didn't tell her, "It's okay, I understand. I love you. Do what you feel you got to do." No. He said he didn't condemn her, but go and sin no more. Amen. We don't condemn people. We want them to go and sin no more. Amen. Let's close with this. The Father has always wanted you. He has always wanted the nations. He has always wanted his family back. Babel was not the end, but the beginning of his rescue plan. The cross is not the end, but the beginning of the new creation. Revelation 5, 9 through 10 says, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you redeemed for God those from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them for our God a kingdom and kohanim," which is priests, "and they shall reign upon the earth." That's your destiny. That's your authority. That's the Father heart. That you reign with him on the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, people, too many are looking just for that sweet by and by in the sky. Now, I do believe in the rapture. I do believe in going to heaven. But there's something we must do while we're here. And what we need to be doing is be about the Father's business of bringing heaven to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is such a key prayer. That is the prayer that Yeshua taught his disciples to pray, and he's teaching us to pray. That is the foundation. That's what's so important. That's what it means to advance his kingdom in the earth. We need to be destroying the works of the enemy in the earth. We need to be exercising our authority in the earth. And if every Christian, every born-again believer would walk in this truth, how much better would the world be? Too many are hiding in the four walls of the church building and saying, "This is all. We're going to go and sing a few songs and hear a good message. And ooh, we've done our duty for the week." And then they go about their business and they forget that they have a destiny, that they walk in the authority of heaven. And the Father's heart should be beating within them through the Holy Spirit. They should have a heart to bring his kingdom into their spheres of authority. And if that's you, I encourage you, please pray about this. What does God want you to do in your sphere of authority? How can you bring heaven to earth and destroy the works of the enemy in your sphere of authority? I'm not asking you to necessarily jump on a plane and go to a different country. There's so much to do right where you are, in your own family, in your own neighborhood. Start there. Minister to your neighbors. Amen? Let me ask you this. Are you living as if you're still under the old rulers? Are you letting the accuser speak lies over your life, over your family, over your calling, over your neighborhood, over your city? Or are you standing in the authority of the one who redeemed you, the King who has made you part of his family? Are you bringing heaven to earth in your sphere of authority? As you meditate on that question and examine yourself this week, be honest. If you find yourself falling short, repent and commit to greater boldness and courage. If you need godly counsel, prayer, a dream interpreted, want to be baptized, or just have questions or comments, email me at lossofloveministries@yahoo.com. Amen? Let's pray. Abba, thank you for calling us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. Thank you for Yeshua, who broke the power of the enemy and brought us home. Help us see ourselves as you see us. Give us boldness to walk in your authority, to trample every lie of the enemy, and to love those you are still calling home. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Next week, in part two of this message, we're going to discuss the verdict and the vision. So it's going to be an exciting message, so I hope you join. Until then, may there be shalom in your home.